Church. So glad to be with you and be in front of you once again. 2020 has been an amazing year, has it not? I think all of us could write a book about 2020 if we had the time, but we're too busy working from home, right? So, of course, those of you have heard Steve did share with you about our new service offering on Tuesday night, City Lights. Doors open at 6:30. Service will begin at 7 o'clock. I can't wait for that to kick off. We have been meeting somewhat underground, and it's been really great. It started out simply as a Zoom call during the pandemic, and it has grown exponentially. We've seen God move in amazing ways, and I'm so glad that it's happening the way that it is happening. So you're more than welcome to join us. If there's anyone in here that knows anyone that is a young adult, young single, you just really want to get an idea on where you are in your life, trying to get a more solid understanding of your faith, please feel free to come out. Also, I want to share with you guys this. December the 31st, we will be streaming the Passion Conference here in the north side of the student building. The first session is at 3, and the second session is at 8 p.m. on December 31st, and it is free of charge. So we're excited about that, And then, of course, before we dive into today's message, I'm really excited because I came this morning to preach. In case you guys did not know that, I have with me here a contingent of some amazing men, part of a wonderful organization known as Omega Psi Phi, my fraternity I'm a proud member of. So I just want to shout out these wonderful men in purple right here on the front row, rude to the good bros. All right? All right. Now, let's jump into this message on today. We'll be going to the book of Job, 42nd chapter, and we're going to read a confession, verses 1 through 5. Job 42, verses 1 through 5. It says this, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me." And here is the focal point of today's entire message. The most important passage of the pericope that we're reading today, friends, is this. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee." My topic for today that I think is very fitting for everyone, as this is the final day of worship in the year 2020, my sermon topic is, of course, 2020. Now, I want to show you guys a picture of a catalog. If you look up on the screen, you'll see a picture. About 2 months ago, my son and I were in the north side of the student building in the sound booth. We're looking through a Sweetwater catalog. I don't know if you guys know who Sweetwater is, but Sweetwater is a company that provides professional gear to musicians. I mean, Sweetwater catalogs are the equivalent to the JCPenney Christmas catalog to musicians, okay? They have everything from recording equipment to drums to guitars to basses to drum pads to everything you could ever imagine. And so we were standing there, and my son was looking at that catalog, and I told my son something interesting. It caught him totally off guard. I said, "Hey, man, guess what?" He said, "What's that?" He said, "You know, when your dad was your age, he subscribed to that catalog." And my son looked at me. He said what he always says when he's not understanding what's happening. He said, "Wait, what?" He said, wait a minute. "You subscribe to this? So you're telling me when you were my age, they had YouTube?" And so it was at that moment I realized that my son everything that he thought he knew about the word subscription, which only was composed of clicking the like button and following a YouTube channel, he now had to realize that his definition of subscription was not my definition of subscription. So then I had to explain to him what a magazine subscription was. You filled it out, you mailed it in, and they sent it to you in the mail. It was a long, laborious process, and he now understood that there was more than just one meaning to the word subscription. Church, 2020 had us like my son was when he found out that subscription meant more than just clicking a button. Understand this, that what 2020 did for all of us is that it put us in a position that everything that we thought we knew about everything that we thought we knew was turned totally and completely upside down. In fact, when Steve told me that I was going to be preaching today, I asked him, I said, "Are you sure you want me to do this?" He said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Okay, I will do my best to conservatively provide to the church a healthy elucidation of the text through the process of biblical exegesis. But if at any point I decide to think about anything that I have gone through this year, and I think about what God brought me through, or if I think about anything that some of you I know of have gone through this year that God has brought you through, or I think about any of the things that this church has gone through this year that God has brought her through, and I just so happen to get excited, and I just so happen to tune up, and I just so happen to raise my voice like this, I know that there's at least five people in this room that could get excited and say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side in 2020 alone. I know I've been through some things in my life, but 2020 showed this preacher what God was absolutely able to do. Somebody ought to say amen right there. I'm going to preach in just a second if y'all stay with me. So let's go backwards. In the book of Job, I want you to understand this, that we're dealing with someone, as I try to give you three homiletical truths out of this particular passage. Job is a gentleman that is described in the Bible as the richest man in the East. He is described as the richest man in the East. In fact, Job was very special. I don't think you guys understand how special Job was. Job was extremely, extremely special as a man. In fact, Job was so special that Jesus talked about Job. What? Yes. Jesus talked about Job in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus articulated as he was teaching to the disciples, he said very clearly this. He said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. Jesus was speaking about how difficult it was to amass wealth and still have a faith walk, because somewhere along the lines of trying to get money, there is a compromise of moral character. And so Jesus was teaching of this, and so that's the dot connected to the book of Job that shows you how special Job was. Job was able to be a man that was known as being the richest man in the East. He was also known as a man of faith, and on top of that, he was a man that had not compromised his moral character. He was a faith-filled man. He was a righteous man. I wanted to make sure we understand who Job was. Job was a textbook paterfamilias. Paterfamilias, pater, where we get the word paternal, meaning father. Familius, we get the word family. He was the head of his household in the best way that he could possibly be. In fact, he was such a head of his household that he did what most good fathers would do. He provided for his family well. He prayed for his family well. He sacrificed for his family well. He fed his family well. Yet Job found himself on the manifested end of a conversation that was well above his pay grade. See, by the 13th verse of the first chapter of the book of Job, he began to lose everything. The richest man in the East, a righteous man, a wealthy man, a man that I am sure had a pretty healthy savings plan, a pretty decent investment portfolio. The Bible articulates to us that he had camels and oxen and land, and he had property, and he had all of the things that anyone could ever desire, but he found himself in this particular passage losing absolutely everything. Church, let me submit to some of you and introduce to all of you the idea and the concept that we have to realize that there are some things that are happening in our lives simply because God has had a conversation about you that you know nothing about. We have to understand this truth, this point, which is my first point for today, that you control absolutely nothing. I think 2020 has showed all of us this, that you control absolutely nothing. In fact, there are companies that said you could never work from home. We can't guarantee that you'll be productive. The 2020 has proven that that was a lie. There are some of us that said that we would never, ever find ourselves not traveling. 2020 proved that that was a lie. Some of us said we'd never do some of the things that we have done. We'd never meet some of the ways that we have met. Churches have said that they would never stop the organization and the meeting of the body of Christ. 2020 proved that that was also a possibility, that everything could be changed. Simply put, what we need to understand, church, is that stuff cannot save you. I think we put too much stock in our material possessions. I've got a retirement, I'll be okay. I've got a savings, I'll be okay. And if that goes out, I've got credit cards, I'll be just fine. Let me help you guys understand something. The richest man in the East had more than all of us in this room combined, times 10, and he still found himself losing absolutely everything. We control nothing. This is why we must put our faith and our hope in the Lord God Almighty, because he is the only one that can sustain us when we find ourselves in negative places. So we get an introduction about Job and his wealth and how much he loves his family. By verse 13, he begins to lose everything. Now, my second point I'm going to sit on for a while, and we're going to spend some time, and this is where I'll start preaching. My second point is this, church: never change your confession. Never change your confession. We are introduced to three friends of Job's. After everything happens, after the bottom falls out, after all the problems begin to come into his life, after every issue has come to pass in his life, three people show up. So my frat brothers, three of his LBs showed up. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. Three friends of Job's. And I want you to understand that friendship is extremely important, because depending on how our friends treat us will determine how we receive what they have to say. Am I correct? If our friends are good, then the words will have stock in our lives. And so the Bible articulates that when they found Job in the state that they found him in, they wept. Not only did they weep, the Bible says that they tore their clothes. And not only did they weep, and not only did they tear their clothes, but church, it says that they put ashes on their heads. They wept, they tore their clothes, and they put ashes on their heads. And I'm going to show you just how important this friendship that Job had with these three men were, because I want you to understand that the book of Job is composed up of 1,070 verses. There are over 18,000 words in the book of Job, and the lion's share of this book is comprised up of the conversation that Job has between these three men and himself. And so what happens is these three men, they approach Job, they begin to talk to Job, and they begin to tell Job, this is the reason why you're in the place that you're in. They tell Job, this is the reason why you're in the place that you're in, because you must have sinned, you must have done something. There's absolutely something wrong with you, Job. There's a problem, there's an issue, there's something that you're not telling us that you need to go on ahead and confess and come clean about so that we can end all of these problems in your life. How many of us in this room have had people in our lives see what we are going through and they become Dr. Phil? They see what we're going through and they have no education in psychology, sociology, or anthropology, but they can tell us what's wrong with us. They have no understanding of everything that is going on in our lives, but they can look through a small photo snapshot of what we're dealing with, and they can tell us how to fix it, how to overcome it, how to do better with it. And all of a sudden, Job found himself dealing with these three individuals telling him what he needs to do with his life. But here is the problem with these three men. Though they might have been three great friends, though they might have been three people that knew Job very well, though they might have been three men that had accomplished something, because we understand that birds of a feather flock together. So the Bible did not tell us that these three men were in lack. So in fact, we can say, or we could use our Holy Ghost imagination and say that these three men were at least neutral status of Job. But here's one problem. They could only speak to Job based on their experience, based on their life, based on their upbringing, based on their education, based on everything that they believe that they know. But none of these men had any information about the conversation that God had in heaven about Job. See, here's where we are, church. We often find ourselves struggling and dealing with the opinions of people around us, and the people around us, though we love them, we've got to learn how to make sure we don't change our confession because of the people that we love who are speaking to us that have no idea that God has already spoken about our destiny before the hell ever happened in our lives. Let me break it down to you simple. God already told Satan that Job was a righteous man and Job's life would not be touched. Eliphaz, Bildad, and the Shumanite did not know that these guys, they did not know that God had a conversation about Job, and so they were telling Job that something was wrong, but they had no idea that God set the circumstance up in the first place. Simply put, we've got to learn how to turn people down in our lives and turn up the volume on the voice of God so that our confession does not change. Some of you have allowed people around you to change your confession because you love them, but you have ignored the fact that God said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Never change your confession. See, Job confessed something at the end of the storm that took place in his life after he lost his family and after he lost all of his livestock, after he lost his wealth and his riches. He said something. He said something very clear. Job articulated something. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away." That was Job's confession. And many of us start off with that confession, but halfway through, that confession begins to dissolve because your friends start talking to you, so your confession changes. Family starts to talk to you, so your confession changes. Neighbors start to talk to you, and your confession changes. Co-workers talk to you, and your confession changes. Your closest of friends that you've known for many years talk to you, and your confession changes. How dare we change our confession about God for the sake of somebody that did not give us life? For the sake of someone that did not create us, surely we love the people in our lives, but they are not the engineers or the architecture of who we are. They are not the author and the finisher of our fate. They are not the Alpha and the Omega. They are not the beginning and the end. They are not the first and the last. They are no one in comparison to the God that threw out these things called glitter out of his hands and they became stars in our eyes. We are nothing in comparison to the God that spoke and said, "Let there be light." God had a conversation about Job, and God has had a conversation about every one of you in this room. I wish I had somebody in this church that would understand that we have put too much stock in the people around us, and we have stopped listening to God in the way that we should. We've got to learn to turn away from those who are around us and focus on God. This is why Hezekiah prayed. This is why David was tending to the sheep. This is what happened when Ruth was gleaning from the fields. This is what happened when Moses was atop of Mount Sinai. This is what happened when Elijah was in the wilderness, or when Jesus went away. They found themselves away from people so that they could focus on what it was that God wanted them to hear. Never change your confession. I have problems, but I will not change my confession. What is my confession? He that has begun a good work in me shall continue it until the day of Christ Jesus. My children are sick, but I will not change my confession. I've lost my job, but I will not change my confession. I've got problems in my marriage, but I will not change my confession. I'm afraid they're going to put me on furlough, but I will not change my confession. What shall separate you from the love of God or from your confession, church, in 2021? 2020 challenged our faith in a way that we never thought it would be challenged in our natural lives, but we must understand that we cannot change our confession. We can't change our confession. Our confession must stay the same. Come what may, my confession will not be moved. Matters not what people say to me that love me and whom I love. My confession cannot change. There have been people that have been in my life that told me I shouldn't be pastoring anymore, but I could not change my confession. There have been people in my life that told me I should not do certain things, but I never changed my confession. I wonder if there's anybody in this room that could say, you know what, Rylan? There was a time where people around me, everybody including the dog, tried to get me to change what I was saying about who God was in my life, but I doubled down just like Job, and I did not change my confession. And because I did not change my confession, I am better now. I am wiser now. I am stronger now because I stayed faithful to my confession. Church, we must understand that our confession cannot change. Can't allow your confession to change. See, the issue is that when these men met Job, because of the way that they performed by weeping and tearing their clothes and putting on ashes, that gave their word value. But what Job must understand, that although you might weep with me, oh, you might tear your clothes for me, you might put ashes on your head, and that'll just be something you have to wash out later on. But the truth is that God gives me life and health and strength. And that is my truth that I must hold on to. And 2020 has challenged me, it's challenged you, it's challenged this church. But the beautiful thing about 2020 is that it gave us a head start on how to go into 2021. Because the reality is we believe that the changing of a calendar, that the changing from 11:59 to midnight is going to magically change everything. There might be nothing that changes around you, but one thing that must maintain is your confession. We understand that we control absolutely nothing. We understand that we cannot change our confession because our destiny depends on it. See, there are two things at play when God had his conversation about Job, because we as believers in Christ clearly have the freedom to choose, the freedom to believe what we want to believe. We have the freedom to say that God will keep me. We also have the freedom to say that God no longer loves me. And I know that somebody in this room has said that, and I'm speaking to you right now to let you know that you should never say that ever again, because even if God is silent, he still loves you. In fact, let me help you understand how much he loved you, that he sent his only son, Jesus, to be born in a manger, whom we just celebrated 2 days ago. And we found ourselves not only celebrating the life of Jesus, but he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of us, to be spit on, to be cursed at, to be beaten with a cat of nine tails, that when it struck his back, it pulled flesh and meat from his body. And he was talked about, and a crown of thorns was placed on his head, and blood ran down his face, and they pierced him in his side. And when he bled, the sun went black, the earth trembled, and all of these things came after Jesus. He said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And we dare never again from this day forward change our confession. The last point is this: is what Job gained was priceless. What Job gained was absolutely priceless. As we unpack, as we understand, as we see what the Bible tells us about the story of Job, about the life of Job, at the end of the book, we see that he gained certain things. The Bible says that he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys, 7 sons, 3 daughters, and 140 years of life. And I tell you what, the novice Bible study student would have said that that's what Job gained. Novice Bible study student would have said that that is what Job gained, but I hope that all of us in here can understand that God is much greater than material possessions. In fact, I want you to understand that the reason why Jesus talked about Job in Matthew chapter 19 was because the Jewish faith at that time, the culture, was that wealthy people could get into heaven because their wealth was a sign of God's blessing. I wish I had somebody in here that could testify right now. Wealth is not a sign of God's blessing, because there are some people right now that have bank accounts filled, but they don't have the help they wish they could buy. God's blessings are measured in ways that we cannot measure. And so when we see what Job received after the boils on his body, what did Job receive after his wife told him to curse God and die? What did Job receive after his friends convinced him that he was wrong? What did Job receive after all of these things, after everything that he had gone through? What does God truly want us to get out of 2020, church? Did God want us to get stimulus checks? I hope not. And if you're waiting on that, we'll have another conversation at another time. Did God want us to receive broken out skin from wearing masks every day? Is it just me? Anybody else got to deal with that stuff? Did God want us to receive the ability to wear elastic waistband pants for 3 months in a row? I don't think so. Did God want us to receive a newfound knowledge on how to work things like Zoom and Teams? I don't think so. Did God want us to receive an ability to sit in front of the TV and watch news media channels try and shape our thoughts about the world that we exist in? I don't think so. In fact, there's one thing that God wanted us to get out of 2020, which is what Job's confession was, which is what we read. Job said this very clearly: I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. The portion of this confession, by the hearing of, is translated as hearsay or a report. So everything that Job learned about God at that point in his life, up until the day that he began to lose everything, was what he had learned. It was what he was taught, and it was what he knew to do. It was what he learned in studying. It was what he learned in school. It was what he learned by going to the assembly. It was what he learned. It was everything that was given to him by way of a report. But when you read further down in that same stanza, the translation of seize means to reveal or understand. See, here's the catch. Job knew of God very well. But after he went through the storm, Job experienced God in a way that gave him something he did not have before. And that is a fresh perspective. Church, 2020 was the best thing that ever happened to the church, because it gave us a new perspective. It helped us to understand that what we thought was important was no longer important. It helped us to understand that things we banked on, we no longer needed to bank on. It helped us to realize that family really is more important than our busy schedules. 2020 gave us a fresh perspective. And when you get a fresh perspective from God, here's where it gets good. He expects you to engage his world in a fresh way. See, Job's fresh perspective allowed him to see God's creation in a way that he had never seen God's creation before. When we study through the books of Genesis to Revelation, we find ourselves with characters that had gotten fresh perspective. We saw Joseph got a fresh perspective. David got a fresh perspective. Saul got such a great perspective that his name was changed to Paul. Every time God moves in an amazing way, he begins that move with a perspective given to who he's going to use. And I don't know about anybody in this room today, but I believe that Houston Northwest has experienced God in a way in 2020 that she has never experienced before. And I'm standing on this platform on this day to ask if there's anybody that's willing to join us in the movement of receiving this fresh perspective and saying that in 2021, not only will we do ministry, but we will do ministry in ways that we have never thought we could do it before. We will meet and be who it is that God wants us to be. In fact, I'm praying the prayer right now, Lord, if you're going to do anything big in 2021, don't do it without using me. Lord, don't bring revival without me. Don't bring change without me. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that's willing to say, I am willing to go through what I need to go through because I know, God, that my destiny is in your hands. In fact, I'm so protected because I know that the word has promised me that if God be for me, he's more than the world against me, and that's all I need to go into 2021 with my hand in God's hand, knowing that everything will be all right. Matters not if the storm rages, matters not if the wind blows, matters not if people talk, matters not if I have sickness in my body, as long as God said, I am with you and I am with you always. That is all I need to make it through what I'm going through. Somebody needs to stand up in this room today and send Judah first and prepare 2021 with the praise. Let me help y'all understand something. For the sleepers in the back, there's something that happened when the children of Israel went to war. There's something that they did. There's something special that they did. In fact, I'll use a very specific story. When they were marching around the walls of Jericho, victory was guaranteed. Victory was guaranteed because the instruction that was given to them was to praise and to worship the victorious name of God in such a way that the enemies would tremble, in such a way that they would never have to raise their sword and strike anyone down. And the problem that many of us have is we have detached ourselves from our ability to praise the victorious name of God. I wonder if there's anybody in here that can say 2020 hit me hard, but I've still got a praise down inside of me. I still have a worship down inside of me. I still believe that God is able to do the exceeding and the abundant. I still believe that God is mighty. I still believe that God is a redeemer. I still believe that God is a healer. I still believe him to be a waymaker. I still believe him to be everything that I am not. If you believe that today, let's conclude this day of worship, the final Sunday in the craziest year that this human history has ever seen, by standing on our feet and letting the devil know, you might have hit us with your best shot, but I've got a praise down inside out of me telling me to go head on and see what the end's gonna be. I've got a praise down inside of me. Some of y'all can't get where you want to go because you don't praise God like you know he's able. Is there anybody that will give God glory like you know he's able? You know he's able, you know he's able, you know he's able. God is my champion. God is my hero. God is my favorite team. God is my favorite actor. God is my favorite comedian. God is my absolute favorite. Nobody stands in front of God in my life. I wish I had somebody in here that could say amen. And it's time for us to put God in his proper place. Oh, I feel God right now. It's time for us to put God in his proper place in our lives, so that the church can be in its proper place in the life of the world. It's time for us, every human in this room with a heartbeat, to put God in his proper place in your life so that the church can be in its proper place in 2021. This world is broken. This world is divided. She doesn't need an amendment. She does not need legislation. What she needs is you and I, arm in arm, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and giving the world a snapshot of what heaven will look like so that the world will believe, just like John 17, that Jesus is the Son of God. Let us pray. God, we thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for your grace, your mercy towards us. We thank you, God, because you have given us example after example within your holy scripture of people that have seen things and experienced things. And Lord, because of that, you allow us to have faith and embolden ourselves and know that you are exactly who you are and who you always will be. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that is in here, Lord, that they are able to come closer to you and make the decision to know you. And Lord, I pray above all things that we walk away out of this year with the very thing that Job walked out of his storm with, a new perspective, after hearing of you, now seeing you, so that we could be who you called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, church.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon here at Houston Northwest Church. Our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians like me and you become more like Jesus. Now, if you have any questions about following Jesus or you made a decision today to give your life to him, please let us know. Text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week at hnw.org. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we cannot wait to see you again next time. Peace.